Andy's red-handed breakfast flatbreads.
I am never having a party again. I only invited a few mates over last night. Then before you know it, the whole house was full. It was all fine until Mum and Dad came back from holiday a day early. So I'm making up to them with my very own breakfast flatbreads. Smoky bacon, eggs and tomato under the grill, topped with fresh avocado. And extra chilli flakes for Dad.
Top your own flatbreads with Tesco Crispy Beech Milk Bag Bacon. Food Love Stories, brought to you by Tesco.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. Christy Wowardy Dowardy.
Kelly Barlow. When she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the bird.
Just saying. Okay.
Shannon out of a cannon, Anthony.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers. Kelly Grant, the Grandmaster.
Give 'em hell, Miss Noel.
Alyssa Magic Mike Ev. And Lizzie Drucker, a fun motherfucker.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens. Crappens.
Crappens. Watch what crappens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we love. I'm Ben Mandelker from bsideblog.com and the Banter Blender podcast. Joining me on this beautiful Monday is a charming man who drives very well and certainly would never crash into a smaller tree before crashing into a larger tree. It is Ronnie Karam from TrashTalkTV.com and the Rose Pricks Bachelor Podcast. What's up, Ronnie?
Well, hello, Bean.
How are you doing on this fine Monday?
I'm doing so, so good. What a great day. We went to see the Countess show this weekend here in LA and saw a bunch of our friends and Bravo family. And so if you guys want to hear about that, that's our bonus episode today. So go check it out.
Yeah. We'll probably be up a little bit after this podcast, by the way. Yeah, won't be there immediately, but keep an eye out.
Yeah, I think it comes up on Tuesdays. And then what else? Oh, I'm packing for Chicago tomorrow. It's going to be really fun.
Yeah. Ronnie, you've been working like a busy little beaver over there on the merchandise side of things. Any special announcements you want to make?
Yeah, so you guys have been requesting different colors of shirts and, like, ladies' versions of shirts, you know, like, not just a standard tee. So we came out with the regular shirts in many different styles and colors for ladies and men. And we also also just put up our first limited edition shirt, and it is the Give Them Benron shirt.
Yeah.
It's our version of the Give Them Lala shirt from this season's Vanderpump Rules. It's our faces drawn. Our gorgeous faces.
Yes.
And those will only be available through the end of May. A little after, because it's for 1 month. Mm-hmm. And you can get those with free shipping right now all week.
Yeah.
And to do that, go to watchitcrappens.com and just click the shop link. Or if you can remember it, go to crappensmerch.com.
Yeah. Another thing is that, so we're basically transitioning all of our merchandise from, like, Amazon to, essentially this is Threadless, and the store is Threadless, powered by Threadless, and so all the merchandise going forward is going to be basically, like, powered, as I said, by Threadless, created by Threadless, but we still have some merchandise left over in our Amazon, literally in an Amazon warehouse. So you can still get that stuff. You go to watchitcrappens.com. But once that stuff is sold out, it's done forever. So if you do like those things, because it is different merchandise than what you're going to be getting on Threadless. If you do like that stuff, it's still there. Go get it. But just know that once it's gone, as they say. So just keep that in mind if you are like a Watchitcrappens completionist and you want your wine glasses, etc.
Yeah, your wine glasses, your pint glasses, or your coffee mugs. You better go get them.
Do we have shot glasses, or are those gone?
Those are gone. Those are sold out, sir.
Gone for good. And there's still some classic Watch What Crappens t-shirts. You never know. Those will be vintage. You know, 20 years from now, they'll show up in Urban Outfitters on sale for $60. So, you know, get them while they're cheap.
Yes.
I'm just complimenting ourselves on our longevity there. I'm just projecting that we'll be around in 20 years.
Well, why the hell not? Even if these house whores aren't, we will be.
We'll be talking shit about something. Yeah. I have pork roasting in the oven right now. I could probably do a 5-part series on that. You know, it's hour one. Here's what's happened. Well, it looks pretty good. I put a lot of seasoning on it. I'm a little concerned. And also, no hummingbirds have come to our hummingbird feeder. So it's just like a very chaotic day. That's hour
you
one.
You see, guys? That's all right. Also, to finish up our plugging, we are going to be on tour all year long. Next is Chicago. Obvi, that sold out. Sorry. But we are going to be doing Phoenix next month and San Francisco on Gay Pride. Yeah. Phoenix is going to be Real Housewives of New York. And Gay Pride in San Fran is going to be Southern Charm Gay Pride. And we might have some special pretend guest star appearances by some of Countess Luann's friends, because she'll be playing right up the street at the same time we're playing. So we're just going to imagine that she's with us doing her show.
Yeah.
So come check it out.
Yeah. The other thing is, actually, regarding the Chicago show, Lincoln Hall, which is where we're performing, they just tweeted out this morning they are doing a giveaway for tickets to our show on Wednesday. So if you want tickets and you haven't been able to get them, definitely go check out either our Twitter feed, because we retweeted it. That's at WhatCrappins, or Lincoln Hall is at Lincoln Hall, to find information on how you can get involved with that, because you might be able to win some tickets for yourself to see our show in Chicago.
Yeah, guys, still out.
And by the way, in case you didn't hear the last thing, in case you didn't hear our announcement, Chicago, we're covering the Vanderpump Rules reunion across both shows. We're going to cover the entire reunion over both shows. So the first show is going to get the first half of the recap. Second show is going to get the second half. Kind of weird, but this way we don't have to rush anything, and everyone's going to get some Vanderpump Rules fun that we can all deep dive into and scream about.
So excited. This reunion is going to be a bananas.
It is. And Chicago treated us so well back in September, so I'm excited to be embraced so we can suckle on the warm teat of Chicago and the Chicago listeners.
Yeah, guys.
Yeah.
So today is Monday, which means it is time to move into Real Housewives of Potomac. This episode is titled "I Came from Jesus." So starting the episode, I was asking myself, who came from Jesus? Karen's wig is my guess.
I'm not sure it was Monique, because I'm sure then Jesus would have taken the wheel.
Yes, and Jesus would not have 5 homes. He was very against, like, multiple home ownership.
And saltwater tanks. Mm-hmm. Fish tanks in the kitchen.
Yes.
Yeah, he takes strong. If you look at the Bible, he has a very strong stance about saltwater fish tanks. You just have to look. I think it's in the King James Version. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on it. But I'm pretty sure Jesus has some strong opinions on fish tanks.
He does. I mean, it would have made his job a lot easier. That's for sure. Being a fisherman and all.
Oh, you're right. I mean, I think I'm Jewish. I don't know these things. My Testament knowledge ends after book number 5. I was like, enough.
It's like you just got sick of reading Harry Potter. You know, you still have to know how it ends. It's not like you have to believe in it. You know,
this feels like an appropriate conclusion. It's like the Fast and Furious movies. I sort of stopped at 5. I was like, I get it. I think I get it at this point. You know, a giant safe fell down in Brazil and they had to like tow it out with a helicopter or something or drive around it. I was like, I don't need it. And little did I know that after like the 5th movie, all sorts of shit happened. Like Paul Walker dies, but yet he's still on screen. So that's like the resurrection, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, stuff happens, but I'm only like, I'm over at 5.
Yeah. And that wonky eyed girl plays Judas. I'm assuming. I mean,
That Michelle Rodriguez?
Yes. I'm so sorry for calling you the wonky eyed girl. I know she's listening to this while she like lifts free weights, like dumbbells. She's like, God damn you.
Well, I mean, I think it's pretty well known that the entire cast of Fast and Furious listens to Watch What Crappens in between takes. I think that's known. Like, Vin Diesel's, like, in his trailer being like, you got that one right.
Oh, Vin.
Maybe Gal Gadot does. I don't know.
Yeah, Vin, call me. It's been too long.
Gal, come to our show. we forgot to mention Gal Gadot is coming to our San Francisco show. She'll be our special guest.
We are dedicating our next show to Paul Walker. So,
what is this Watch What Crappens? I don't get it. Why you have this? This is why comedy show, Great American Musical. This is not music. This is podcast. I don't know. Goodbye, everyone.
I still laugh about you imitating her in Wonder Woman. Why you do that?
That's what she was. That's what she was like. Why you do that? Why you nestle next to me? What? Why you wear a coat? Why? I can't wait. Why?
Why you do that, huh?
That's what the entire movie was. You're not going to go on battlefield? Why not? No man's land? Well, I'm not man. I'm woman. Okay, watch me. Why you do that?
It's weird. So anyway, good. It's so, a classic.
Speaking of a Wonder Woman in her own right, Karen is using her superpower, talking to Siri. She's like, Siri, call Matt Byers. And Siri's like, I'm sorry, did you mean Matthew Byers? Oh, well, who else would it be, Siri? I mean, ridiculous.
Who else is named Matthew?
Siri, like, really? Call my friend of 12 years, an attorney slash assistant, Matthew Byers.
I love Siri, and I love that she's really talking to Siri like she works for her. It's like, Siri, who else is named Matthew? And she's like, I'm just a humble assistant. She's like, that's what they all say, girl. Hangs up on her.
Hey, Matthew, so I'm calling to let you know you have some competition, the assistant department. Get it, Siri? Are you still on the line, Siri? Take a note.
Siri, are you wearing a red shirt with white polka dots? Because I don't like my assistants competing with each other in the Minnie Mouse arena.
Giselle, I'm calling to say I had to fire Siri. It turns out she's working for many other people as well, and I need an assistant who is solely focused on me.
Less shade, Siri. Less shade.
You know, by the way, remember when we used to do things, we used to say things like, hey, Siri, play Calliope music, and everyone would get annoyed at us?
Well, I just did it.
I just want everyone to know that the big guys have figured it out, because now there are all these commercials. I was watching a basketball game, and it was like, want to know what the scores are? Hey, Siri, pull up the scores. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I was like, you're pulling a Crappens move on me, NBA.
Yes, they did. It was ordering the machine. I don't even want to say the name. We should come up with a different name for her for this show, because it really does make people cray cray.
Gloria,
yeah. So
no, we actually have a name. We have, remember Pat?
Oh,
was
yeah.
Was it Pat?
No, I don't think so.
Jam.
Was it Pat? I don't remember. I think you know Jam. I don't remember things.
Gene. It was Gene.
Gene, okay.
Yeah, Gene was Siri, except it was like Siri if Siri were your mom. Like, I can't quite find that weather. I don't know.
So her. So what was I going to say about that? We just need to have a different... What was I going to say about her? Oh, my God, you guys. I'm losing it. I'm not even drunk. It's just like my Monday morning vlog.
I'm sorry. What did you need me to do again? Oh, that's right.
Okay, I just focused. Okay, I'm refocused. That's what they all say, Siri. So Karen is sitting there acting like she's working super hard, and she's taking notes, and they show up a close-up of her notes, and she's written one word, and it says, fragrance.
Fragrance. Siri, I need you to dictate this for me. Okay. Memo to Ray from Karen. Fragrance. Signed, Karen.
Because stupid Gene didn't remember Matthew's number, I had to write a word down in my notebook. Ray.
Gene, are you there? Gene, are you there? Okay, Gene. Here's what fragrance, odor, scent, obsession, eternity, infinity.
Strong enough for a man, but made for a puppy? Not right yet. Maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's fragrant. No, it's not right. It's not right.
Fragrance-aline. No, not right. Not right.
Maybe if I just write fragrance down, something will come up, Ray. Hey, Ray. Hey, Ray. Hey, baby. And he's like, hello. He goes, how are you? And she's like, I'm buried in paper. You are literally going to be buried in paper because you're too poor to afford a plot, okay? Ray is literally going to cover you with newspapers and just leave you in the guest room if you die first.
Ray, I'm in a great space right now because you've been protecting me by not telling me about what's going on in your life. Thank you. Thank you, Ray.
Yes. Ray won't talk to me, but it's just because he's protecting me.
I feel like it's Wonder Woman herself looking over me, except it's not a lady and... It's not Gal Gadot. It's Ray. Wonder Man.
Ray's like, why you do that? Why you write this fragrance?
Why you do that? So Ray sits down. She's like, well, Ray, seeing Raven go off to college for junior year, I can't even believe it's been junior year already, but seeing her go off in that rental car, going off to Carvel, well, I said it was college, but, you know, we know it was Carvel.
And Ray is so checked out, and I love every second of it, because he's holding his phone, first of all, in, like, this really, really strong OtterBox case, which I don't know why I noticed, but I was like, that's hilarious that he's so terrified of dropping his phone. But he's sitting there like, my phone could ring at any moment, and he goes, well, Raven is at school, and whenever folks go back, I'm like, but where is this leading?
Yeah.
I really wish he could have finished that sentence, because I was like, whenever folks go back, what is he going to say? So I'm already fascinated.
Karen has this weird way of linking these concepts, like her segue. She's like, well, seeing Raven go off to college for junior year inspired me to make this fragrance. I was like, what was it, like the smell of exhaust? Is you're like standing there as the Yukon fumes blow onto you as she goes down the driveway. She's like, well, you know, she's chasing her dreams, and I want to chase my dreams. I want to make a fragrance. Icon Enterprises, that's the umbrella company that I have. We make umbrellas, but we want to also get into fragrances. Fragrances that I want people that. It's a fragrance that smells like an umbrella. You see what I'm saying there?
Is there a fragrance that smells like gravel in your eye? Because that's what it would smell like.
I want an umbrella that's a small umbrella, somewhere between a parasol and an umbrella, and you stick it out, and that way the fumes of gravel and exhaust, they bounce off the umbrella and keep you smelling wonderful.
Well, Icon Enterprises is an umbrella empire for Icon Hair, which is for cancer patients, and now I've decided to branch out into fragrance. Like, that is the oddest link I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Like, it's only Karen could make that link, you know?
Do we want Karen to be an authority on hair? I mean, even, like, last week's little mishap with notwithstanding, I mean, hair has never really been her strong point, right?
Well, we learn as we go, you know? I mean, she's finally found a hot glue gun, probably after last week. You know, she's, like, burning her scalp to keep that shit up. Maybe just come out with wig glue.
Well, it's a house I'm building. It's a house of beauty. It's built on umbrellas. It's basically a bunch of umbrellas that I stacked up together and glued, and they made in the shape of a house. And you walk in, you're like, I don't know if this is bad luck, because you're not supposed to open up umbrellas inside a house, but what if the house is actually umbrellas itself? It's a lot to think about, and it's a fragrance, too.
Well, people learn slowly, and I have to say, Karen does learn new tricks, you know? She has new edges.
Mm-hmm.
Which are very impressive, you know. I mean, I always feel bad bullying people over things like that, but I feel like we're making a difference in our own little way, you know. And yeah. I'm sure that she didn't do that because we told her. I'm sure it was the internet, but I like to think that it's because we bullied her that she got new edges. So Ben, yeah. I wish we were together right now so I could high five you.
Yeah, I mean, so many things are happening. We met the Countess. We have a new T-shirt. We shamed Karen into fixing her edges because I'm sure that's what she listens to the most. Gay white men who just only learned what edges are last year.
We learned so much. Remember when Claudia Jordan? We learn in baby steps. That's just how it is.
Remember when Claudia Jordan told Nene, like, you have no edges? And I literally was like, oh, that was like a very, wow, what a cutting thing to say. Like, she lost her edge. And everyone was like, no.
Yeah.
Black lady hair. I was like, yes. Oh, I'm white. I'm white.
Guys, we may be the whitest people you know, but you'll learn more culture from this show than any other. Because we learn in baby steps.
Baby steps and doing things entrepreneurially. So, House of Beauty, umbrellas.
Speaking of baby steps, deodorant for babies.
Yeah. Honestly, with this rebirth, deodorant for babies. Yeah, so Karen's like, honestly, with this rebirth, I know more about finances than I ever thought I would. I was like, wait, where did the rebirth happen?
Yeah, no kidding. How about you just, like, get over your first birth? I think you're still struggling from that.
I'm going to have a press conference and cover myself in corn syrup. That'll be my, sort of, like, my metaphorical placenta. And I'm going to birth myself at the press conference.
People think work is foreign to me, but Taco Bell was no joke. Like, she keeps doing that, like, wink and point thing whenever she talks now. I don't know where she learned that, but she looks like someone turned on a strobe light and she's just starting to have, like, you know, fits.
Let's face it, I'm the grand dame of the Taco Bell coven. Yes, I'm going to worm my way into the Vanderpump rules. Would you like to get a pumpcini, please?
I love that she talks about Taco Bell and then they show a picture and she's like 16. Is that your rebirth? Are we just pretending nothing has happened in between then and now? She's like, oh, Taco Bell, just like it was yesterday. And here I am now doing my thing entrepreneurially. I was like, well, that's quite a jump.
I didn't know Taco Bell was even around in the Victorian era.
Back then we called it street cart with tortilla.
Back then we called it yarmulke meat, because we thought those tortillas were yarmulkes that were just folded over with food in it.
Back then it was just called donkey cart.
Back then it was just called Donkey Kong, actually. I spent many years of my life jumping over barrels trying to attack a giant ape, and I never got there.
Let me tell you, Donkey Kong is no joke.
Let me tell you, I went into plumbing afterwards. It's great. Great work.
From chalupas to wigs for cancer patients to makeup. Here we are. What an evolution. So she's like, well, Ray, you know, this rebirth and everything, finances and blah, blah, blah. But respectfully, I need your help. I'm like, what part of my ass is broke? Don't you understand, lady? He owes like $11 million or something. How much money does he owe? Now, I'm just pulling numbers out of the air, but it's a lot.
He's like, I'm going to go watch a biography of Yvonne Lendl on the Tennis Channel instead, just to protect you. I'm not going to talk to you, just to protect you right now.
Yes, he's like, consider my silence protection. He's like, well, I would love to have your back, but it would be nice if you could find someone else, basically. Just anybody. Literally start a lemonade stand in the driveway. I don't care. Just please stop asking me for money. Please, you just bought a Lamborghini.
Oh, Ray. You know, it's so appropriate your name is Ray, because I'm just feeling rays of protection falling down on me, Ray. Thank you so much for that.
She's like, well, people are going to ask where she got this money, but trust. I have my own money. And then she like smacks at the camera and points at us. I'm like, no, you don't. I don't think she understands marital law.
She's like, I have trust. I have my own money. Some of us are called task rabbits for a reason. She just shows up. She's like, you want to mount a television? Well, I'm not here to do that. Goodbye.
I do have an edge for you to try on.
So now we go over to Monique. I can totally hear your door creaking open.
sorry.
No, it's an ongoing. Now it's like it's funny because now it's like a joke for the listeners because they always listen for the door creak. You know, they're like, well, oh. There's
that
the
current scene made me laugh so hard I needed a cigarette. I was like, oh, this was fun. So Monique, Ashley, and Charisse go to Shasha. The beauty place.
Yeah,
like,
well, they go to cryo. They go to get some, which was so 2 years ago. That's like Yolanda Fosta. Even the cryo place at, like, this, my crappy LA Fitness tried to be, like, really trendy and opened up a cryo section. It's like, honey, you're LA Fitness, okay? No one's doing cryo there.
No also, kidding. It's Dio.
Dio. Well done. Do high wrong. Five. High Dio. Five. So Monique has... Monique is just... She's burning the candles at both ends, okay? She's creating some sort of product, her, like, she ginger would. Thing. She is... Yeah, she would. She's like, yeah, I have five candles, and I burn them all at both ends.
And it hurts. My hand hurts. Like, literally, my hand is burning.
So she's making her own product. She's starting her own charity. She has kids. She doesn't have a nanny. She's doing a million different things. She's got to get laid with that big old Chris Samuels dick, you know? That's a lot of work, you know? And the music, like, housewife who can do it all. So she needs to go and do some cryo so that way she feels refreshed and alive and ready to attack the world.
Yes. And Candy Ass, who last week took her hazing very well, I thought. Like, she didn't lose her temper, and we were so impressed with her. I was, at least. I was like, I cannot believe she withstood that, didn't have a fit, and yell at everybody. I'm impressed. Apparently, that's not really working for anybody in production or in the cast, because the whole scene is like, why would you let them yell at you?
Yeah,
why exactly. would you let them treat you like that? You need to yell back at them.
Exactly. And the thing is with Candy Ass is that, basically, I do actually think that she didn't handle it as well as we thought she did, because she did. She was like, I'm going to roll with the punches, but I feel like in her mind, she's like, okay, this will be the episode where they haze me and I'll be cool. And she sort of thinks, and now it's over. Because she's like a beauty pageant queen. And she's like, okay, This is the bathing suit competition. This is the hazing competition. And now we move on to our next event. And they're like, we're not done with you yet. And I don't think she can deal with that. And now she's like, she gave herself the mental energy to deal with the hazing for that one afternoon. But now she can't handle it anymore. So it starts to slowly seep back in with this whole scene, because they're going to do cryo, and she's like, do I have to take off my wedding ring, or my engagement ring? Oh my god, good, because I don't want to take it off. It's like, okay, we get it. You're engaged. You're not the first one in this world, okay?
No kidding. Please leave it on and just lose your finger, you fucking dope.
So they all...
Did your mother buy you a new finger?
Ooh. So they all go into cryo, and then afterwards they're just like relaxing in these relaxation thingies that are like squeezing their legs.
Poor Charisse is like frozen to her hoverboard. She's like, you didn't pay to take off the hoverboard.
She's like making jokes like Mr. Freeze and Batman, and Mr. Freeze is like, even I'm cringing at your joke, Sasha, and my jokes are terrible.
And I love that Sasha, you know, Sasha's an asshole, but I still like her. And she comes out of that cryo tank like me. She's sweating. Like, you're the only person that they put in a cryo tank and you come out sweating. Like, how does that even work?
Yeah. So they're all hanging out. They're shading Giselle for the ruffles on her little outfit, which is what we mentioned last week. Like, you have ruffles on your workout outfit. And they're like, she even bothered to put that on Instagram. Like, she was proud of it, you know? So now they're talking about Giselle and, you know, how the shade that she threw up, talking about, like, if Candace's mom paid for everything, which I think as Giselle's shade goes, it's, like, not that bad, especially because Candace really put it out there and is sort of, like, is making it, like, part of her hallmark, like, talking about her mom so much and her mom pays for this or that. So they're talking about that, talking about how Giselle was shady, and then they start talking about her, her engagement ring. Well, they're talking about Chris. Like, Chris must be making some money because he paid for that engagement ring. So then Charisse goes...
Well, kind of, yeah. Oh, what's Charisse saying? Sorry.
No, you clarify.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, because she was saying, oh, I can take the shade. No problem. These girls give me a little shade, but I just don't feel like I should be judged. And Charisse is like, well, in all fairness, you did say your mom does stuff for you. So it's a legit question to ask if she paid for everything. You know, because there's not as many involved mothers like yours at your age. How old are you? How old are you? Which I love that the age shaming goes both ways on this show. It's like classic Housewives, that the young ones are like, you old tramp. Yeah. And then the old ones are like, you little baby. I look at you and I see spinal fluid injections.
It was very gratifying on all counts. So then they're asking, like, okay, well, Chris must have some money because he got you that ring. And so then Charisse goes, as a joke, she goes, did your mom buy you that engagement ring too? Is that a joke? Is that a pun?
Is that a pun? And Candy asks, it's like, do I have try me on my forehead? And Candace goes, so Candace starts giving it back to Charisse now, because Charisse, you know, is there to represent the old lady gang.
Yeah.
And she is just keeping the shade alive. Charisse, this is nice for Charisse, because she's been just downright evil in the past. So at least she's starting kind of innocent. Not innocently, but she's being evil Charisse. Gently. Yeah.
Well, she's being classic Charisse, is that she starts off saying some little comments, whatever, and then when she gets clocked, she gets all indignant. I never said that like that. What, you a little girl, you know?
Yeah, so Candace decides to start giving it back. So she's like, so, what about you? You're unmarried? And Charisse is like, divorce, painful divorce. And she's like, oh, I'm sorry. That's not fun.
That's not fun, like being engaged is. I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sure it was amicable, right? I'm sorry.
Did you wear gloves over that non-existent ring anyway, just in case?
Oh, I'm sure that maybe you guys just drifted apart naturally. Oh no, he just sort of like left you and found another woman. Oh, I'm sorry.
And Charisse, of course, can't take it the second. Oh my god, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
My monitor got unplugged, but as long as you're still there, it's okay.
Monitor.
Yeah, Bueller's been sitting under my desk, like that's his little house, and I think he was trying to make the cords more comfortable for himself, and so he kind of pulled out my computer monitor cords, and now it's really loose. Okay. But don't worry, I have notes back up. Believe it or not, guys. See? Baby steps, I'm learning. So Charisse cannot take it herself, right? So the second it turns to her divorce, she goes, "So, Michael, what about Michael?" And mm-hmm. Ashley's like, "Well, it sucks. You know, it's kind of sucking still with Michael, but I plan to retreat at the Neiman Colon." And I love that she vacations with her husband at some place called Colon. I mean, that's just like such a Michael place to vacation.
All right, we're going to go into a big old colon, and we're going to explore in there, take some photos of yourself and send them to the colon and see what you find. I hear they got cute little hats on the bellboys there, huh? So then she's like, yeah, I got, I think it's something. There's some like weird moment where she's like, "Yeah, I got rooms for seven of us. Yay, seven!" And the people are like, "Wait, there are seven of us? Oh, that's right, there are seven of us. Yay, there are seven of us now." Because they forgot by Candace, whatever. You go, "Yay, seven of us now!" And then the scene ends. Did you catch this? The close up of Charisse looking sad, like it's like you are no longer part of the core six, Charisse. You've been demoted to friend of.
Yes, and she tried to. She tried to like make it. The other six, because she goes, "I was going to say there's only six of us." And Candy's like, "Seven now, honey. Get used to it." And then it just Sheree stink eye at the end of that Charisse, scene.
Yeah.
What did I call her?
Sheree. I mean, Sheree was probably giving stink eye too.
Like, who am I today? Yeah, Sheree. She's like, "Bloop, bloop.
You got six? You got six?" Yeah, no, that, that Charisse being like pushed out of the core six. She's like the seventh tag-along friend of. It's hilarious.
But do you think they even tell them at the beginning, or do you think that they make her like a friend of after it's all shot? Because she's in every episode. It's not, she's not like a typical friend of. She's in every scene in every episode, and she's causing a lot of shit. So
she's very much like, you know, like when Countess Luann was a friend of, which is shocking to think she was ever a friend of. But when Countess Luann was a friend of, it was, you know, she was in almost every single episode, and I think maybe I would not be surprised if Charisse was just like, I'm going through divorce, and I just don't want to air my personal shit on the show. So I think that she's there, and she's almost an active cast member, but she's not going to film her own life, you know?
Yeah. She's like, "I can't afford to get another womb done for storyline." So, yeah. Like the champagne room tapped her out.
Did you mean to take a commercial break right now? So now it's like little pops of what everyone's doing around town. You got Candace and Chris. They're looking for wasps in an umbrella, which I thought was a really good metaphor, you know.
That's such a white thing to do.
Literally chasing wasps.
So Giselle, over at Giselle's house, she's like, "Look, Giselle, girlfriend has a lot going on." I'm like, why are you talking like that? It's like Giselle's just talking differently in every scene now, trying on different personalities that aren't terrible.
Yeah, she's FaceTiming Sherman, and he's driving, and so like the phone is like facing the ceiling. She's like, "What am I looking at? I want to see your pretty face. I'm like, "He is driving, okay?"
He's driving. I know. She's like, "He just doesn't communicate. And I have too much on my plate to be with a man who isn't communicating." I'm like, maybe he's afraid that you're going to fall into a well. I mean, you're holding your camera above your head. You know, there's something about like holding the camera at a good angle for yourself and looking like the girl who fell down in a well, you know, fell down a well.
She looked like she was Patti LuPone climaxing with Don't Cry For Me, Argentina. Like that hand was fully up and out. It was like... She's "Don't like, cry for me, Sherman.
Paper love, Sherman, Tina." So next up, we go over to Michael and Ashley, and they're on bikes in some park. And he's like, "Is this wide enough for you?" Meaning the road. And she goes, "That's what she said." And he's like, "No, she would say tight." I'm like, why would she say tight?
Yeah,
it doesn't make any sense. She's talking about you.
He is the worst innuendo maker.
Yeah, they're terrible.
Like riding these bikes, it's like riding you when I put my penis in your vagina, am I right, innuendo?
I know, it's like perfectly classy. They're like, "Okay, let's make a bunch of fucking jokes, and then talk about my mom."
Yeah. So they have some hilarious romantic patter where she's like, "I don't want to bike too much because I don't want to lose my booty." He's like, "Well, that's going to take a lot of biking. There's a lot of plump there." I was like,
Oh my God, you're lucky you're not married to a white lady, because I would have knocked his block off if he said that to me. How dare you, sir?
Plump in the rump.
Plump yeah. Still skin.
Anastasia Plumpnik. So they start talking about the mom situation again and how she's going to be weaning her mom off of Michael support. And of course he's not happy with it.
Yeah. What are the consequences? And she's like, well, I told her maybe someday, maybe we'll give her this money. And he's like, those aren't consequences. She's like, okay, I told her we'd give her more money. Nah, it's not a consequence. Oh, what am I supposed to do? I'm like, cut her off.
Yeah.
He's supporting her. If her own fucking husband won't get a damn job.
Yeah.
Why is everybody else supposed to take care of his lazy ass?
Okay? I agree.
Get rid.
I actually think the compromise that they should strike is actually the Karen Huger method, which is, okay, fine, let's have two separate bank accounts, and you can support your mom, and I'm not going to. Which is kind of like a dick thing to do, but maybe that will teach Ashley, like, how much, like, truly make her appreciate how much money her mom is costing, you know, given that she has this shitty, shitty husband, you know, or boyfriend.
Yeah. Oh my God, it's frustrating to watch. And it's also weird that they're making this like the pilot episode or the first episode of the season. Have you noticed? Because every scene, they're reintroducing themselves. Giselle's like, this lady is very busy. I have this job and that job. And Karen's like, oh, I'm going to have a fragrance this year. And Monique's like, here's a list of all my jobs. You know. And Sasha's like, I'm Tha-Tha.
Hoverboard, is that a pun?
We don't need to start this over, guys.
Yeah.
So, but over
I do find, by the way, I am fairly fascinated by this Ashley Michaels situation, because I think it's a really interesting dilemma. Like, because it's, you know, she actually should cut off her mom because her mom is with this low life, but it's also her mom, and I actually find it to be very compelling, the storyline. Every time it comes up, I actually get very absorbed into the scene, even though it's with Michael, who I cannot stand.
Well, I think what makes it most interesting for me is that her mom works her ass off. So it would make it a much simpler thing if her mom was just living off of her, not working, you know?
Yeah.
And supporting a guy. But her mom is working her ass off, too. So it's not like you can just say, work harder, mom. You know, right. She's working her ass off. But they're still having to supplement. I mean, what kind of job does she have that they're having to supplement that much money?
Because she works like a nursing home or something, or I think that's what it is. But
didn't they mention the amounts of money that she's spending? Isn't she giving her like?
I don't remember.
I was reading it in comments on Facebook, and I don't remember hearing an amount on the show. But it sounded like they were saying it's like $4,000 or something.
I also wonder if, you know, they got the mom a house, and now like maybe the mom can't pay for the house on her own. Like maybe they cornered the they kind of got the mom into a situation that wasn't so great. Who knows? But what was also interesting is that this situation is revealing all sorts of interesting layers to this relationship, because, you know, he's like, I think you have to cut her off. And she's saying, I know we're going to wean her off of this, and I got it under control. And the fact that you don't believe me, that you don't have faith in me, means that we have deeper issues than we even realize, which I thought was also fascinating. You know, it's just like...
No, he doesn't trust you because you say you're going to do one thing and then you don't do it.
Yeah.
You guys already told your mother if she didn't get rid of this guy, she was going to be cut off. You still haven't gone through with it. And I understand why it would be hard for her, you know, but yeah, he is listening. She's trying to turn it around like, there's deeper problems. No, it's a pretty simple problem.
No, you I mean,
said
I think
you
it
would,
is.
You said you would cut her ass off, and she said that she would get rid of the guy, and nobody's doing anything that they're saying, and, you know.
No, I mean, I think it's actually both things. I think it's exactly what you're saying, and there is a deeper problem, because I think that if my boyfriend, if we were in this situation, then and he said, you know, like, trust me, I'm going to handle this, I would be like, okay, I trust you. I think we should just cut off, but, like, you can, I trust that you can do it. And the fact that he doesn't even trust her, that is a problem. And that's what I thought was like fascinating. I was like, that's like, shit, this is like, there's some like
not
deep
a new
shit
problem
out of it. It's not a new problem. Well, they shouldn't have gotten back together in the first place. That's if you ask me, which you haven't, Ronnie.
What do you think? Should they or shouldn't they?
Thank you.
Yeah, well, don't worry. I'm sure we're going to be able to talk about this for multiple hours more, because this is not going to go away anytime soon. It's like every scene. It's like, let's talk about how much we're giving your mother and S.
In other news,
Robin?
Robin.
I need that. Can you get that case from upstairs? Thanks.
She's like, oh my god, Juan got me new shoes. Ugh.
Yeah, Juan, they are literally acting like they struck gold. I mean, I don't know how expensive those shoes are, and who cares, but he comes, he's like, hey, I got you some sneakers, and she's like, whoa, we're living the high life now. There's so much less stress on us. I was like, you just got, like, he just got his job. Yeah, and you haven't even flipped your house yet.
Yes, and now she's talking about how she's flipping properties. Has she talked about that before?
I think she alluded to it, but now she's talking about flipping properties, which is, you know, famously such a reliable income stream.
No kidding. And she has the, my dad was a house flipper for a very long time. He still does it sometimes. And I used to do the houses, like, to learn how to do it. I did a couple with him. And that is so hard. And to make any money is so hard, especially with foreclosures, because you can't just, like, walk through the house. You can't be like, oh, hey, I'm going to have an inspector come over and do all this stuff. You take it as is. So sometimes you'll get these places and the foundation's cracked and it's like, boom, now it's going to cost you money instead of making money. You know, it's like horrible. And she's like, well, if we do it right, we could make like 80 to 100. And I'm like, no, that doesn't sound right. And then it cuts to her and the guy's like, maybe 72,000. I'm like, Robin. She has a way of guesstimating up.
I just am like, you just got out of your tiny place and you went to just a place that's like a little bit larger. Just like relax a little bit. Like just save some money. Just save your money a little bit, you know? Like this, because house flipping, it is long and it is hard and it is not as simple as Torque makes it look on Flipper Flop.
Yes. And also notice she's doing it with her mom, which means, you know, it's like a double investment. So I'm like, how much is she going to be making fun of Candy about getting money from her mom?
Well, on top of that, though, it also means you're not going to be taking in as much money because you're splitting it or you're giving away some.
Tell me about it.
I know. And speaking of interior decor, I just have to say, I don't know if you saw Trading Spaces this weekend yet, but it was so, like, off the walls bonkers in terms of, like, what Hildy Santos Thomas was getting involved. Like, what she did, I was like, I cannot believe I'm watching this on television. This is so hideous. It's actually brilliant. I can't.
That's a girl.
Yeah, you will crack up when you see it. You will die.
I've got a bunch saved up. I'm going to watch them on the plane tomorrow.
Oh my god, I can't wait. I think we're on the same flight.
I just couldn't go from. You were texting me about it last night, and I could not go from Westworld to Trading Spaces.
It's kind of the same thing.
It's too jarring. Yeah, Paige Davis. She's like, look, today I'm in India. It's like they just changed the bot.
Yeah.
Change her out.
So anyway.
Okay, so Monique and Candy, this episode's a lot about shopping. a lot of shopping in this episode.
Monique, Ashley, and Candace are shopping for bathing suits.
Yes, and basically everyone's shopping but Ashley, which is weird. And I was like, oh, poor thing, because you're giving all your money to your mother, Ashley. It's like, my allowance is gone. I'll just watch you guys. So this is where they're basically telling Candace, you better go after these women who are making fun of you, because this is bullshit and they will never stop it if you don't say something, you know?
Right, exactly, because Candace is still, she's still like a little upset that Charisse asked if her mom bought the ring, and so she's sort of like, she's sort of stewing on it, and these girls are just fanning the flames. Like, you should say something. When someone does that, like, if you don't say something, she's gonna trample all over you, or technically roll over you. She's got a hoverboard, you know?
Lay down more. No, lay down more. Oop, I fell. Ow. Okay, lay down more. I'm just going to start on you. Is that okay?
So then Candace starts talking about wedding planning, and she's like crying about the wedding dress, and she's like, you know, you don't think about weddings being stressful because of other people. You think it's stressful because of yourself, but not other people. I'm like, bitch, have you ever even heard of a wedding? Do you even know what a wedding's about? Do you know that it's like, haven't you even seen like, one segment of anything on TLC?
God, the poor thing. She's kind of a dodo bird. But she's young enough that I feel like her mom. So it's hard for me to like be too mean to Candace.
Oh, even though she says a lot of something.
Oh. No, I will never buy her anything. Just like every other person whose wedding I go to. Just kidding, guys. Just kidding. Seriously, don't invite me.
I do owe some people some gifts.
So let's see. So she starts crying because Ashley's like, well, I guess I'll ask you about your wedding since I haven't heard that much about it yet. And Candace is like, well, you know, my mom, I'm sorry to cry. I've cried so much at this wedding. It's just, oh my God, it's so stressful. I'll be 60 and she'll still be like, you can do this, you can't do that. You look too fat in that dress. I'm like, it's called having a mother. We all have them, okay? Yeah. Well, the lucky ones of us, you know. Sorry to people who don't. But
yeah, rude.
Yeah, that's called having a mother.
I'm going to let you just hang with that.
Well, it's not like my mother's going to just totally heal by the time I'm 60.
I just feel like Candace is one of those people who goes through very common experiences and think she's the first one. Like, oh my God. Like, she's going to be the one that's be putting the baby pictures on Facebook next to pebbles that say, 1 month. Like, oh my God. Can you believe it? 1 month? Guys, question to all my friends. I'm sorry if this is TMI, but like, what do you guys do with baby poop? It's like, it's called get a diaper and don't share it on Facebook. Like, none of us care. Okay? People have been having babies for like thousands. Like, you know what? Since the very beginning. Literally, the beginning of mankind. Like,
she'll be one of those ladies who puts up a picture of her baby having a confused face and then say, like, who smushed my banana? Like, oh, good one.
It'll be just, like, every single thing. It'll be like, oh, my God, my wedding day. I can't believe it. I see this, like, we got a cake. We got a wedding cake. I know, it's crazy, right?
She'll be like, at last, my love has come along.
Yeah.
Like, oh, jeez.
She's going to do a flash. You know she's going to do a flash mob with her wedding and some sort of annoying thing where they're going to do a dance to like Justin Timberlake on the dance floor or Bruno Mars and record it. And there'll be a drone flying overhead.
A drone. Chris will be flying it. She'll be like, honey, pay attention. Ugh.
They're going to get married.
Such a white guy bubbles. Thing to do. So next we go to Monique, we go to Ashley. Four hours later. Yes. Ashley gets a text. She's like, oh damn, Monique got in an accident. And we see the text and Monique's like, I fell asleep on the road and almost hit a big tree.
She's like, I hit a little tree and I almost hit a big tree. It woke me up before I hit a big tree.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's like the music's dramatic. We see a flat tire on the Bentley and Monique is at home. It's like the next day and she's on a foam roller and Chris has her by the legs. He's like, all right, I'm going to roll you. Oh, 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 oh.
Can you feel this on your back? That is where it's supposed to be working.
I'm going to pick you up by the feet and swing you over my head like a terrible towel. Whoa, 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 whoa.
And she's like, well, after shopping, we went to lunch and then we had a couple of drinks and then I was, you know, behind the wheel of the car and I just had a long blink. It was just a long blink.
I was just like, got then, really tired.
Yeah, I hit a small tree and that woke me up before the big tree. And I'm like, did you just confess to a DUI on camera? What is wrong with you?
This is the only thing that has ever been like, that is like, I could not believe it. I could not believe the words coming. I was just what tired. I had a long blink. This is almost like, as bad as Joe Giudice saying he crashed his car and was so shaken up by it that he went into his father-in-law's house and did 5 shots of Jack just to calm down.
Yeah. I mean, it's just really bad. Like, social services could be showing up at your fucking door any second, you idiot. What is wrong with you?
Yeah. I mean,
who says that? I was mortified. I was like, oh my God, do I have to teach this woman everything?
I mean, it was like one of those, I felt like I was watching it and I was like, did anyone else just hear what she just said? Like, she was drunk. She had some drinks and then she was so tired. She's so exhausted from doing all these things. Like, she's drunk. She's drunk.
Yeah, they don't even call it like drunk driving anymore. Now it's just called driving under the influence because you don't. They've lowered the drinking. This is what I was thinking when I first watched it. They've lowered the drinking minimum over the years. It's like a glass and a half of wine. Like, it is really,
it's really
low.
It's really, to be considered really drunk. Easy to get a DUI. Yes.
But did you know that even if you register alcohol but don't register over the limit, you can still get in trouble because you're under the influence in any way? I mean, it's like the time of Uber. Okay?
Yeah, it's like if you're drinking. And you are like, whoa, I thought I was okay to drive and I'm not. And you pull over and you just like lie down to go to sleep. You can get a DUI even being stationary because you can't be in that car. Like, you have to actually leave the car. You have to leave your car behind because you could get busted. You
know?
People don't actually realize how easy and serious it is to get a DUI, because it used to be, when I got my license, it was if you blew a .10, but now I think it's down to .08, and people don't realize, like, if you're buzzed, if you're just like, oh, I had like two drinks, I'm a little buzzed, you are in DUI territory right there. And I think
it's very scary. Yeah, well, it's scary. And I'm not even
scary
lecturing.
If you're being irresponsible, like, you know,
I'm not even lecturing about that, because I don't want to be like a total hypocrite. My thing is, like, how stupid are you that you go on national TV and basically confess to a crime? Stupid.
Yeah.
So Ashley comes over and she's like, well, I mean, I hope you're okay, girl. And she's like, well, you know, I have a job. I'm starting a charity. I'm making tea for people with colds. I have children. I don't have a nanny. I don't have time to train in it. It's like, you've already done this.
Keg
now she's just
going
to repeat.
Yeah.
I had to hold my hair back while I vomited behind a tree. I mean, there's just tons of going on here.
You know, the funniest thing happened. I went to get a wheatgrass shot, and I actually did like 5 tequila shots. I drove off, and I just got so tired. So they all get onto this party bus in Monique's driveway to go off to the wherever they're going, and they're all waiting for Robin and stuff. And so Monique is telling this story. And I like Giselle just like cuts right to it, because Giselle, I was afraid that this was going to go unacknowledged. And just so as Monique's telling the story about how she crashed her car and everything, and Giselle just goes, y'all was drinking? Y'all drinking? And Monique goes, I mean, I had 2 martinis, but I wasn't drunk. Hello? Martinis are straight alcohol.
Martinis
are nothing but alcohol. Like,
oh my god,
I would
like,
never
just
drive
be
after
quiet.
2 martinis.
Please just be quiet. And I like that when Chris is walking her out to the bus, he's like, now don't be drinking. I hope you're not going to be drinking too much. She's like, oh, I'm not going to do that. It's like, oh my god, you people are, you're killing me, right? You're killing me, Smalls. Yeah,
maybe
so,
4
yeah,
martinis. That's
of course,
it.
Giselle. Giselle is like blood in the water. Like, she is, if she sees anything happening, she is going to, like, just lay under the bus. Just lay under there, because you are about to get it.
You're about to get thrown under there anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I actually was shocked. I was like, this, I don't know if this woman realizes, like, 2 martinis always rock me, you know? That's why if I'm going to be like, okay, it's going to be a fun night, I will start with 1 or 2 martinis. But, like, after that, I have to stop. And I always think, whenever I have 2 martinis, I'm always like, how did those guys do it in the 60s in Mad Men era, where they have their 2 martini lunches? They must have just come back to the office shit-faced, which is what
they
probably
did.
They
do.
And they
nap. That's the whole show is them being shit-faced and ruining their lives and the lives around them. And, you know, that whole show can be summed up with, like, alcoholism. Like, we just didn't know back then.
Because Monique is small. Monique is small, okay? There's no way she has 2 martinis and is, like, not drunk. I'm sorry. Not even over 2 hours. I think, like, if you have 1 martini in an hour, I think if I have a martini, I would honestly give myself 90 minutes to 2 hours before I drive. Because, you know, it's supposed to be, like, a drink per hour, technically, but I think a martini, mm-mm.
Yeah, girl. So they give her a little break while Ashley's like, well, I'm so glad we're going to the Colon place. Michael's so jealous. But, you know, it reminds me of, like, when I was a kid, because I would go hang out with my grandma and grandpa, and we just had a trailer in Indian Acres. And Giselle goes, so a trailer park. And she's like, yeah, it was a trailer. She goes, oh, so this is your second or third house after the trailer park. No shade. I'm just trying to understand. I'm like, how is that not shady, Giselle?
Yeah.
Okay. And stop acting like before this year you've ever made $5 goddamn dollars for yourself and haven't been living off somebody else, and that you have 19 other mansions. She is so evil. Like, who makes fun of somebody for growing up poor? That is disgusting.
We probably would, actually.
Yeah, that's true.
That's us. So,
well, but I have the common sense to hate myself. It's like Erica says on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and I can't believe I'm quoting Erica, but one of my favorite Erica quotes is when she's like, I'm mature enough to know that I'm an asshole.
Yeah. Like, well, I actually don't think we would ever make fun of someone for growing up in a trailer park. We would make fun of someone for growing up in a trailer park and acting like they grew up in Windsor Castle, like Kim Zolciak, okay?
Yes.
That's where we would make fun of someone. But, you know, we don't, like, inherently make fun of someone who grew up in a trailer park because, like who the fuck cares?
Yeah,
you know?
And I love, yeah, I mean, I was, you know.
Yeah, no, like, we all come from
Like, yeah, so
trash
anyways.
Cans and garbage bags. So, which is, by the way, so obnoxious that I just said that, like, as if, like, that's what trailer parks are. Like,
well, who cares? Well, I was, you know, I literally came out of a trash can at prom. Like, I just, I found a big Jew in there, a Charleston big Jew, and I just happened to find life. I managed to hang on. Okay. Someone found.
Did you say a big Jew or a big Jew?
The Charleston big Jew.
Oh, don't I thought you said I found a big Jew, and I was like, good for you. Good for you.
Darling, I wouldn't be living in a trailer park if I...
My people are very charitable.
Ashley doesn't fall for it. She's like, yeah, we did grow up in a trailer park. Like, she doesn't get mad or anything.
Yeah.
So Giselle's like, oh, so this is your third house after a trailer park? And Monique goes, man, she's obsessed with homes. Maybe she should buy one or two or three or four or... five. A ding!
I only drink as many martinis as I have houses. Five! So, I also like that when Ashley talks about this getaway, she's saying, yeah, it's gonna be great. There's gonna be zip lining and fly fishing, etc. And they just cut to Robin being like, ugh. I'm like, Robin, it's a free weekend, okay? All right, don't act like you aren't living in the wilderness already up there in Hanover, Maryland.
I know. This entire episode, Robin just wears her, like, pre-sneakers face. Like, before Juan bought her sneakers and changed her life. Her mouth is open the whole episode, and she's just like,
So then they start... Now it starts to get real fun. Because now, of course, they start to rehash the wedding ring comment that Charisse made. And Candace is like, it was a shady bitch moment. Which, by the way, like... saying that that's like shade with a little bit of edge to it, but it's not the worst thing in the world to say, because she said it was a shady bitch moment. So of course, and I think everyone just sort of laughs, and Sasha is like, wait a second, shady bitch moment? Shady bitch?
So you're referring to me at the bitch? I'm like, oh God, here we go.
It's like the moment, it's a shady bitch moment. You're referring to me at the bitch? Is it me plus the hoverboard or just me?
Yeah, it's like, yes, and I second that, okay? So sue me. So yeah. Then we cut to commercial, because it's like this big fight on a bus that Charisse is going to, you know, make a huge deal out of, because she's trying to keep her damn job, to keep her champagne room. So then we cut to commercial, and I have to say two things. One, Andy has decided he's going to stop, like, wandering around in his promos for Watch What Happens. Someone was finally like, you need to stay still, because you look like a little boy, like, staring at lights. So now he's almost doing the splits. His feet are so wide apart. They're like, just plant yourself, Andy. He's like, okay! He's doing the splits. Okay, and then this Candace Bergen movie for Book Club ad comes on. I have to see that. I cannot believe this movie's coming out. I want to see this immediately.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, 100%.
That movie is made for us. It's a bunch of older ladies who read
Fifty Shades of Grey.
The 50 Shades of Grey movies and decide to have sex lives again. I cannot wait.
Yeah. No, I'm just there for Candace Bergen. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to wear a big yellow blazer and pretend I'm on Murphy Brown.
Which is also coming back, by the way.
I can't. So, so now when we come back, so I don't remember where the commercial break was in the middle of this fight, but all I know is that now Candace is getting worked up, and so Sasha does this thing that I hate when people do, but she does her own Sasha spin on. She goes, lower your voice, honey. I'm right here. I'm right here, honey. Lower your voice.
Honey. She starts talking down to everybody. She's so Charisse. She's such an asshole.
She's so Charisse-y.
Oh, my God. And over the years, I've just gotten used to her, so I'm really glad she's here, because I thought she was just going to be completely fired.
Yeah.
Like, God, she's horrible, man.
And Giselle doesn't understand what's... She's like, Giselle's like, wow, all I know is that Candace is being annoying and disrespectful to Charisse, and I don't even get it. Why? I'm like, why? Because Monique basically told her, yell at Charisse.
Yes.
And you're the one who's yelled at Charisse the most, okay, Giselle? You get it. You know why people yell at Charisse, because she's the worst. Remember when she had a feud that went an entire season because you went upstairs during the time you volunteered to cook her crabs?
Yes. She's like, if you're going to go after anyone, it should not be the woman who brought us all together. I'm like, your fight started this whole show. What are you talking about?
You were
about?
Fighting 5 minutes ago.
God, you're terrible. So Ashley's like,
Well, it looked like she's taking her advice, but I thought she would go for Giselle, not Charisse.
And then Charisse is using typical Charisse tactics, where she's like, you're a child, honey. You're a child. You're a baby, kids, little baby, baby.
I don't fight with kids. And Candace's like, what kids? Ew. I'm like, ooh, good comeback, Charisse.
Yeah, Charisse. And Candace is like, well, I'm not going to fight with some old-ass woman either.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm just going by the present, not in the past. This fight made no sense. And Candace is like, okay, me too. So then be quiet. She goes, don't put your finger in my face, which her finger was not in her face. Yeah. And then she starts waving her finger in her hand. And she's like, my hand is not on your face. You would feel it if my hand was on your face. And I'm like, Karen, she probably feels the heat coming off your sweaty-ass hands from where she's sitting. Move your hand back, ma'am.
And then Karen, when Charisse says, if my hand was in your face, you'd feel it, Karen just guffaws at Robin, like, hoo, hoo, hoo. She's like, because she basically is like, paraphrase Robin's line from last season, this is my finger in your face. This is my finger in your face. Thank Candace. I actually loved Candace's response. She goes, geriatric granny, don't talk to me either. Geriatric granny.
I'm glad you fixed that, because in my notes it says geriatric brandy. And I'm God, what did Brandy do?
Yeah, because they were going back and forth of like, oh, you're calling me a child? I don't play with old women. She's like, well, you kind of look like a child. Well, you kind of look like an old woman, geriatric granny.
Oh, so classic. So good. So
Candace, I actually liked seeing Candace pop off, because she was pretty good at it. Like she's all been sweet and nice, but she was like, she was kind of destroying Charisse, I thought, because all Charisse was doing is like, Yeah, keep your voice down. I can't hear you. You look like a child. You look like a child.
Yeah, she's 30. I'm jealous. I know your ass is jealous.
Yeah. So finally they like break it up a little bit. Ashley breaks it up. And they arrive at the place. And Monique's like, oh, look. Look, the wine bottle is almost empty. I guess we've all been drinking. They're like, no, it's you, Monique. You drank that entire bottle of wine.
Yes, and Giselle's like, I had like an inch.
Yeah.
And she goes, I personally love drunk Monique, but it's concerning. Girl just wrecked her car. She needs a red wine timeout.
Yeah. So they arrived at Nema Colon, and Karen's like, stunning. It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. Stunning. Stunning.
And the guys are in bowler hats, and someone's like, I like your hats. Oh, you're cute. It's like, oh my God, keep it in your pants, Edge.
Yes. So stunning. It's perfect. Has anyone tried my fragrance? Also stunning. I'd like to have a press conference where we discuss how stunning and gorgeous Nema Colon is. Stunning.
Next time you're out here, could you bring your umbrellas? Umbrella, Ella, Ella, Ella. Wow. She's like, you're cute. And then Giselle walks past the two guys, and she's like, hi, Sam. Hi, Dave.
They did have, like funny little bowler caps on. It didn't really make sense. It was, like, a little bit, like, Clockwork Orange. I was like, is this going to go to a bad place?
Clocks, oranges. I see it now. Put it under the umbrella, boys.
You want some milk? Now the girls transition into Rolls Royces to go to their... So I guess it's like a giant sprawling estate, because they're in the main lodge, and then they get in the Rolls Royces to go to their... wherever they're going to be staying on the property. So they're in different Rolls Royces. Monique is just totally drunk at this point. Like, she's, like, ready to, like, shove the chauffeur out of the way and get behind the wheel. She's like, I'm fine.
Yes.
I'm fine. So, I'm fine.
And then they're getting into their car, and Candy Ass is like, well, my husband is white, so I'm going to take the white car. It's like, oh, God, shut up.
Yeah.
She's like, really? Shut up. So Karen and Giselle are in another car with who? Sha-Sha. Who were they with? Karen, Giselle, Sha-Sha.
It's the older ladies. They're like, Candace needs to apologize to you, Sha-Sha. Candace needs to apologize.
Yes. And Giselle's like, well, actually, I like her better drunk. Because they're talking. Karen's like, I think we have trouble with Miss Drunky Skunky. She's like, well, I like her better drunk. And Karen's like, well, what do we think of Miss Candy Ass? And Giselle's like, she needs to apologize. And then in the other car, Candace is like, white husband, not a little girl, not hand in your face.
Weddings are stressful.
And Monique is trying to steer the hate. She's like, but she's not the one who referred to you as a little girl. Giselle did it first. And she's like, oh, Giselle's going to get it too. Don't you worry. And Robin in the front seat rolls her eyes with her mouth still wide open. She's like, Robin, thanks for coming.
Yeah, exactly. You're
really adding a lot to this experience.
So then Ashley's like, I have to pee. Which is, you were just in like a giant building, you know, like how far, like where, like, can't you wait another 2 minutes to arrive at the place? So she pees in the woods, very Bethany Frankel-esque. And then they all arrive at this house where Karen again is like, stunning, stunning, gorgeous, 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 perfect for the wife of Black Bill Gates, gorgeous. Ray, if you weren't protecting me right now, I wish you would just come over here and see how beautiful this was.
Did everyone just hear the wonderful advice Ray didn't give me? I'm protected.
I'm
the alarm is turned on.
So you have fragrance based in this house. It's called House.
It's called Table with Benches. Let's sit at it. So they're all sitting down for their first meal together. And Ashley's like, well, guys, I know that there's thick air between us. What?
Yeah, she has
she's making
stiff
it
air.
Sound like they're like vacationing in Japan together. Like, downtown.
Well, you know that Robin let one rip. That's what she was talking about.
Hey, sorry, guys, that was I know me. That someone had onions and garlic this morning, and,
Candy, Giselle's like, well, I think that Candace owes Cherise an apology. And so, this is when she's like, if you're gonna mess with anyone, don't mess with Cherise.
She is central to this group. I'm like, so central, she's a friend of...
Yeah, she's like literally not central. And yeah. Candace is like, well, I think you owe me an apology. And Charisse is like, I was just being light and airy. And like, if you had a problem when I said that, then you should have addressed it when I said it. What point is putting a letter in the mailbox without an address? People get it and they're like, who sent me this? I don't even know who you are, girl.
I feel like people go to that well a lot, which is like, well, if you had a problem, you should have said something instead of just like let it linger. And I feel like, yes, I think theoretically that is true. You should say something at the moment. But there are people like me who like need to process and can't just access that part of their personality where they can just snap back right away. Because sometimes you think like, oh, well, I don't want to make this moment feel awkward. This is a nice moment. I don't want to ruin it. Or, oh, wow, I didn't realize how I felt about that until just now. Like, there are people who process things. And so I feel like this whole idea of like, oh, well, you said something at the time and said something now. I'm like, you know what? She actually did bring it up on the boat on the bus pretty normally. And you're the one who actually got hostile with her. And she was bringing it up with a little bit of an edge. But what you initially said was with an edge. So she was sort of serving it back to you. And you're the one who was like, who is this little girl? Is that a pun? Who's this girl? Yeah.
Well, poor lonely Charisse. I feel like she doesn't know how to argue, so she just starts quoting Law and Order. She's like, the statute of limitations. It's over. You should have told me this a long time ago. Rather than the evidence. And didn't they actually, someone did say that here. Someone's, mm-hmm. Oh, Robin's like, you were the one who started talking about your mom and your money, and so if you bring it into evidence, then we're allowed to ask you questions.
Which I actually agree with. But I just think that Sasha saying that is a little, I don't know. I mean, last time I checked, Sasha didn't seem like she was confronting Eddie on a lot of the issues that she had, and she just aired them on TV instead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're just being mean to her, and they know they're being mean to her, and they have no argument, so now they're just going to try and argue over stupid things. And meanwhile, Candace, who is in the right, is now just yelling and screaming at everybody because now she's warmed up. So she's just not going to stop screaming. And it's funny. And Charisse is like, where did you even come from in the first place? And she's like, I came from Jesus.
Yeah, well, I was like, oh, Ronnie's going to love this because Candace was fired up at this point, you know, because they're coming down on her about like her mom paying for stuff, and she's like, you know, you judge me for my mom paying for things, but you two are kept women. You are kept women. And I was like, oh, this is the moment Ronnie's been waiting for three seasons.
Yes, and of course they're both like, just I was like, I literally don't care. Like, I don't know why you're acting like I care. Why would I care? I'm like, you're the one who's shaming her and slamming her every 2 seconds. And you and Charisse. And then Charisse, of course, because she can't fight with that, is just like, where did she even come from in the first place? I'm like, casting to replace you, stupid.
Yeah. And Candace is like, listen, I know I talked about this stuff, but like, and it's fine to talk about it that my mom pays for things, but why do you have to shade it? You know? And then Karen goes, Candace, when I spoke to you at the picnic, I did warn you. So, I'm like,
you can't go light a cigarette in the airplane bathroom and be mad when the alarm goes off. I warned you it was going to happen.
Yeah. Karen's like, all right, how about this? Why don't you just eat your food? Because she's already done eating and I'm ready to take my nap, all right?
You need a thick skin with these women. Let's eat. She does her, like, snap wink thing, which is her new, like, oh, yeah, just wink. We're going to eat now, right? And Karen's like, button it up, baby. Button it up. And Giselle's like, well, she hit below the belt with calling names. And Robin's like, yeah, you did call names. Remember when you called her geriatric granny, lols?
Such a harsh attack, you know?
Yes.
So, and Giselle's like, that is my friend. And if I'm going to tell you to apologize to her, then you should.
And then Candace is like, you know what? You can just stay seated. And Giselle goes, really? Really? I am in my seat.
Well, Candace
goes,
that's
why she said stay seated.
Yeah, Candace goes, are you her mother, though? Then remain seated. Remain seated. Remain seated with your greens, with your dressing, with your fork and your knife and your spoon and your placemat and your napkin and then the salt and pepper and then also your next dish, which is coming because the waiter did not realize you weren't done with your salad yet because you were sitting there not eating your salad and your entree is waiting so we can finish our lunch.
So good. She's like, really? Shut the fuck up.
And then Candace's like, really? You can shut the fuck up. Lose your wig and shut the fuck up. You're dumb.
She's like, I look good. I think I look good. I think I look good.
I'm not sure who Candace is one to talk about lose your wig, because Candace is also wearing a wig. So
Candace has a wig company. So it's like you might not want to be shaming wigs when you run a wig company.
Yeah, and Candace looks like she's wearing a hair roof. Okay, so let's let's just like calm down.
Well, I wanted to wear something that was like a napkin in case these rude ladies wanted to wipe their fingers on something.
And then the waiter walks in. He's like, does anyone want some Malbec? Some Malbec? I actually really liked the way that Candace stood up to the women. I thought she stood up pretty well. She wasn't whiny. Like, she's been, like, sort of, like, perky and annoying all season, but so far. But you know, this was good to see that when she gets pushed, she really fights back, and I like that.
Yeah, she's earning her place.
Yeah. Before we wrap up this episode, can we do something that we normally do on Wednesdays, but since we're traveling this week, can we do it today? It's Listener Spotlight.
Sure.
All right, let's do some Listener Spotlight.
Spotlight.
Listener Spotlight is when we turn the podcast over to the listeners. And if you support the show on Patreon at the Listener Spotlight level, we let you have the floor for about 2 minutes. So this week we have the lovely and beautiful Jess Dang from Boston, here we go. You ready, Ronnie?
Yeah.
Hi, Ben and Ronnie. This
Love you,
is Jess Dang, and I just want to say, first off, it was so amazing seeing you in Boston back in January. You guys are the best, and I had such a blast. I went to both shows, and hopefully I can see you again live, and congrats on all of your live shows that you've got coming up. So for the listener spotlight, you guys are asking what our favorite shows are on Bravo right now. So for me, it's Vanderpump Rules, which I know is a pretty standard answer, but I actually did not get into Vanderpump Rules until last season. I never watched it just because I had caught like an episode or two of earlier seasons and I just hated everyone on the show.
That's normal.
And just did not understand why it was amusing to watch a bunch of 30-year-olds get drunk every day and sleep with each other. However, I now realize the error of my ways, and that is exactly why you want to watch the show. And I also realize that the audience is not supposed to like them, and we are supposed to be frustrated with them. Although I have to say I do like Lala and James this season. But anyway, I'm addicted to it, and I started watching the past seasons that I missed, and my husband saw me watching it, and he got quickly addicted, and so both of us are binging all of the past seasons, and so it's my favorite show going on right now in real time and in repeats. All right, guys, I love you so much, and have so much fun at all of your upcoming live shows. Bye.
Love you, girl.
Thanks, Jess. I'm glad you
love
had that,
that
turnaround. Yeah, she's so sweet. I'm glad that Jess had that turnaround in perspective. That everything that she was hating the show for, she suddenly realized, no, that's actually why you should love the show. And
yeah,
something that we've all gone through. We've all been there.
Oh my gosh, she guarded my plate of food for like 2 hours.
She's great.
Because I ordered food after the show, and then I just kept talking and talking, running for mayor, and then she kept it.
She's great. She has a hot husband, too, and he likes playing board games. So it's like really, she's really living the life. And, you know, we don't know when it's going to be, because we still have many things to work out, but we definitely will take our show back to Boston. That is for sure. Boston was great to us. So that is going to become a regular stop for Crappens. Don't you worry. We will be back. We'll be back.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, this is a fun, super fun episode. Potomac is so good. Potomac is so good this season. I'm so glad it's found its voice. I hope that the ratings reflect that. I love when a show finally gels. It really means a lot to me.
Thank you for all you give us, Bravo.
Thank you, Bravo. Thank you. We deserve it.
And so that wraps us up. We will be doing Vanderpump Rules in two parts this week for our live shows. So those will not be out in the normal time. They will not be coming out tomorrow. So if you need something tomorrow or today, if this is Tuesday for you, go over to Patreon and listen to our bonus episode. It's all about going to see the Countess Luann with a bunch of our friends. And then we will be back Wednesday and Thursday. Well, God, we have Beverly Hills. We have Pump Rules. But there's just a ton of shows this week.
Yeah, for those who are eager for the Vanderpump Rules coverage, just be a little patient. That's going to come out either Wednesday night or Thursday morning. So,
yeah.
But it will be there.
Thanks, everybody. We sure love ya.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.